This story happened in Spain, in the city of Saragossa. Over there was the palace of the king, and he was a good king. The Yidden liked him very much. He was good to the Yidden, and they were good to him. They paid him the money. They kept the laws. The king was good and fair, but he wasn't too smart. And also, he was easy to push around. His officers could push him around. They could influence him that he should listen to them, but he was good. And so far, things were good for the Jews. Many times, the king used to make a parade. The king liked to make a parade. And the people liked the parade. It's very nice, a parade. Trumpets blowing, and beautiful wagons and horses, and, you know, beautiful uniforms, and all kinds of nice things. People lined up by the street and seeing the king in his crown, sitting on his traveling throne. Anytime there was a parade, the Yidden came out also, because it was honor for the king, and they wanted to show king respect, and they wanted to show the king that they loved him because he was a good king, and that way he would continue to be a good king. And one of the things they did, a very interesting thing, to show the king a special kind of an honor and a special love, was when the Yidden came out in the Jewish neighborhoods as the king passed by, they brought out the Sefer Torah cases. Now, they didn't bring out the Sifrei Torah. They brought out the beautiful cases that inside are the Sifrei Torah. Now, let me explain this, because there's different ways that you have a Sefer Torah covered. How many boys saw the Sefer Torah come out of the Aron HaKodesh and they bring it to the Bima? Well, usually it has a mantle, it has a cover on it. It's like cloth, it's beautiful, it's nice. And it has a crown on top. That's the way we see it. But some people have the custom that there is a big hard case that covers the entire Sefer Torah. It's not cloth, it's made out of wood, and it has decorations, silver and gold and diamonds and all kinds of beautiful jewels or whatever they decorate it with. And it's a hard case. It's like a small closet, and it opens up, and inside is the Sefer Torah. And I think they even lane the Sefer Torah while it's inside of that. And if not, they take the Sefer Torah out of that. But this is a special case. Now, when the case is closed, do you see the Sefer Torah? No, you don't see the Sefer Torah. You just see the case. Now, what they used to do was, because like this, the king is not going to necessarily see if there's a Sefer Torah inside or not. All he knows is that this is a special thing from the Jewish shuls, the beautiful Sefer Torahs. Now, since they're not going to read from the Sefer Torah, do they have to take out the Sefer Torah? No. So they left the Sefer Torah itself in the Aron HaKodesh, and they took out the beautiful case. Now, when the case is closed, can you tell if there's a Sefer Torah inside or not?
Yeah.
You can't tell. It's the beautiful case, like a mezuzah cover, unless it's glass or something, and you see a metal or a wood mezuzah cover, do you know if there's a mezuzah inside or not? You can't tell unless you open it up. Hopefully there is a kosher mezuzah inside, which, by the way, some people unfortunately think if you have a mezuzah cover on your door, that's enough. What's more important, the mezuzah cover or the parchment inside, the mezuzah inside? The parchment inside you have to have. It has to be kosher. The outside is only a case. And over here, the Sefer Torah was inside of the case. The case was beautiful. It was very big. But of course, the main thing is the Sefer Torah. Now, they would really bring out only the cases, because the king would not lane from the Sefer Torah. It wasn't the Jewish king at the base of Mikdash on Sukkot like they used to have in Hakhel year. The king himself would read Sefer Dvarim from the Sefer Torah on a bima made of wood in the base of Mikdash. The king would read the Sefer Torah, and all the Yidden were there in the Hakhel year, every 7 years. This was not a Jewish king who's going to read from the Sefer Torah. It's a non-Jewish king of Spain who's going in a parade. And the Jews want to show a special honor, so they took out the Sefer Torah cases. And the king would feel very honored that the Jews are coming out with a Sefer Torah. It's not important that he knows if there's a Sefer Torah inside or not. He just sees the beautiful Torah cases. But the Torahs were left in Arna Kodesh. Just because they're not going to lane from the Sefer Torah. Who understands what I'm telling you? Why am I making a Gansa Maisa? Because this is the Gansa Maisa. This is the beginning of a whole story all about these things. So, of course, we first have to give you all the background and all the things you have to understand in order to understand the story. Because if we're going to jump into the story without explaining stuff, you're going to say, what? What's going on over here? Who understands so far? Okay. And this is the way they did it. And the king was always so happy to see the Jewish people coming out with their beautiful Sefer Torahs and you know, giving them honor. And this went on for some time, but unfortunately there was a problem. There was a certain officer, not a big officer, but an officer, and his name was Marcus. And Marcus had a certain problem. That he hated Jews. It seems like this Marcus was from the family of Amalek. Probably his great-great-grandfather was Amalek or Haman, somebody like this, who is very, very, like, cold and hard and mean, and he hates Jews, not for any reason, just because he hates Jews. He does not like Jews. It's just the way, unfortunately, some people are. Amalek, they hate Jews. And this Marcus was a Jew hater. And when Marcus would go with the king in the parade, and he would see Jews, he would get upset. And when he would see the king smiling at the Jews, and the Jews smiling at the king, he would get upset. He says, I would rather see trouble for these Jews, not smiling and good things. I would rather see the king upset at these Jews, not the king to be nice to these Jews. Trouble, that's what I want. Trouble for the Jews. But the king likes the Jews. What could he do? He had in his mind, maybe someday he'll think of a way to cause trouble for Jews. Now, can you imagine this? A person who wants just to make trouble for Yidden? It's very hard to understand, but unfortunately, this is what Amalek is all about. Full of hate. Full of just ways to plot and plan and to make trouble. It's hard to understand what a waste of time that is. Just to hate people and do bad things to people. Well, this is Marcus. Until one day, Marcus found a chance to do what he wanted. The king says to Marcus, he calls him in. Again, he was one of the low officers. He says, Marcus, tomorrow I plan to make a parade. And I want you to be busy getting the towns and the cities ready for the parade. Of course, what I like to see when I have a parade is everybody is ready and the streets are clean and nice and everybody knows about the parade and there's no garbage in the streets and a few red carpets wouldn't hurt. And maybe some flowers and, you know, things like that. So you are going to be in charge of making sure the streets are clean and there's no garbage. Other officers I've called to put up signs and blow trumpets to tell everybody to come out to the parade in the morning. And you'll be in charge of making sure there's no garbage in the streets. So, get the sweepers and the brooms and the dustpans and servants to sweep the streets, and you will follow behind them. If they missed anything, you'll pick up pieces of paper and garbage and things like that, and you will take a garbage can and make sure that the streets are clean. Okay, Marcus? Okay, King. Do you think Marcus likes this job, to be the royal garbage man before a parade? Well, okay. But Marcus says, I'll make sure I become a higher officer, maybe the highest officer. And now Marcus is going through the streets after the sweepers, and they're sweeping, and he's trying to make sure they sweep up everything so he doesn't have to pick up any garbage behind them. But once in a while, they miss something, and he's got to go and get it. And now he's going through the Jewish neighborhood. I have to pick up garbage in a Jewish neighborhood. I'm upset. Maybe I can find some kind of a plan to make against these Jews. Let's see. Let me look around. You know, let me look around. Let me see what I see. I can start trouble from anything that I see that I might make up some kind of like a plan out of it, the plot. All of a sudden, he passed by one of the shuls. Now, there are different shuls in the Jewish neighborhood in Saragossa. It was a big Jewish neighborhood. And he sees there's a meeting inside of Jews. Let me go listen in to the meeting. And he puts his ear to the window and he peeks over there from behind the bushes by the window. And he hears the leader of the shul saying, tomorrow morning is a beautiful parade of the king. Let us prepare the Sifrei Torah, that we should take them out to greet the king as we show him honor, and the king loves it. And somebody else says, should we do it tonight or tomorrow? Let's do it tonight, so tomorrow we're all ready. Let's get them ready. Let's take out the Sefer Torah. We'll put it in just a regular mantle in the Arna Kodesh, and we'll just take out the empty case like we always do, so we show honor to the king. Marcus says. What are they doing? They're taking something out and leaving it, and they're taking something. Let me see what they do. And he peeks over there and he sees they open up the Arna Kodesh. That must be the special place where they keep their things there. They take out a Sefer Torah, the big case that I told you. They open it up, and he sees inside, rolled up there, like two long things with, you know, scrolls. Look at that, some kind of a rolled up book in there. That must be what they call the Torah. I never saw that, I just saw the outside, that case. And they took out the Sefer Torah. They gave it a kush. They put it in a regular mantle. They put it in Arna Kodesh. They close up the case. It's empty. And they said, yes, we'll prepare the cases. We'll shine the gold and the silver, that it should be very shiny. But of course, we're leaving the Sefer Torah here because we're not going to be reading from the Sefer Torah. So we're just going to take the case. Marcus says, look at that. The main thing they leave here, and they're taking an empty case out to the king. Like you serve a person, you make a party for a person, and you have some delicious cake and cookies that came in a box. So what do? You keep the cake and cookies for yourself in the kitchen, and you put the box on a plate, and you serve a person the box. How would they like to have an empty box, and you get to keep the cake and the cookies? That's the way you show honor for a person? That's the way the Jews are honoring the king? An empty box? Trouble time. Marcus is going to make trouble this time. And he goes now back behind his sweepers and his broom men and his dustpanners, and he's picking up pieces of garbage here and there and putting in his garbage can to make sure that the streets are clean. And he passes by another shul. Another shul. One of those Jewish shuls. And he goes over there and looks in the window. And also he sees they're taking out one of their Sefer Torahs. They are opening up the case, taking out the inside, putting it in that kind of a closet with the curtains, and they're closing it and empty, and they're shining the outside to make sure the silver and gold shines. Look at, they're doing the same thing. Look at those Jews, what they're doing. Empty cases for the king. More fuel to put on the fire. And he goes to another shul. Every shul was doing the same thing. Marcus is getting now in his head a plot and a plan. And after the streets are all clean and everybody's ready now, he has made these streets ready. And after the streets were all cleaned up, and the sweepers have filled their garbage cans, and the Marcus has filled his garbage can, and the streets are nice and clean, ready for the parade in the morning, Marcus goes back to the palace. And of course he has to report back to the king that his job was done. And now he reports back to the palace, and the king says, Marcus, are the streets clean? Are they ready for the parade tomorrow? Yes, king. Yes, all the streets are clean and clear. The sweepers swept, and the picker-uppers picked up, and the red carpeters red carpeted, and everything is just beautiful. And everybody knows to come out for the parade in the morning. Yes, king. Every neighborhood knows to come out for the parade. But, king, I'm a little bit worried about you tomorrow. I don't want your feelings to be hurt tomorrow because of something I saw. So maybe you should not go to one of those neighborhoods, because maybe the king would be upset instead of being happy in his parade. And the king says, what do you mean, Marcus? I am the king of this entire land, and every neighborhood comes out to see me, and I go to every neighborhood. Why should I not go to one neighborhood? What is the problem? O king, I saw something that would not please the king, but I didn't know if I should mention it or not. I feel so bad for you, because one of those neighborhoods does something in order to make fun of the king and trick the king. What? Tricking the king? This is going against the king. This is the biggest no-no of the land that one could do. What neighborhood are you talking about? Well, king, I guess I have to tell you now, since you're asking. I saw something in the Jewish neighborhood, and this would get the king very upset. Well, I saw it and I heard it, and I guess it's my duty as being your officer to report this to you. The Jews? I thought the Jews were my friends. I thought the Jews respected me. Oh, on the outside they respect you, but on the inside they laugh at you. Just like the trick they're going to do, that's how they behave towards you. On the outside, they treat you with respect, but on the inside, they laugh. And the king says, what do you mean? And Marcus says, king, how do the Jews greet you by each parade? Oh, the king says, they come out and their leaders are holding those beautiful Sefer Torahs, their holy book, and they come out to greet me with that. And that's what they do each time. It's so beautiful. That's great respect. Oh, king, you don't understand. What you see is only the case. It's only the outside. But they don't bring out the real Sefer Torah on the inside. They leave that in the shul because they don't want to bring that out to you. They say, it's not worth it for us to bring out the inside for the king. We leave that. We don't want to waste our Sefer Torah on the king. We don't want to get it near the king because the king is not good enough that we should show him such respect. So we just bring out an empty case and the inside is missing. Just exactly how we feel. On the outside we smile and we show honor, but on the inside we don't care about the king, and even we could laugh at the king and we could say the king is not good. And this is what Marcus says they were doing in their shuls, making meetings how they should not take the real Sefer Torah, only the outside, to fool the king again and again like every parade. And the king says, what? No, it couldn't be. Yes, this is what I saw. And the king says, Marcus, are you sure this is true? Yes, king, I saw it with my own eyes. And what if it's not true? Well, king, why would I make this up? This is what I saw. The king says, look, I know you shouldn't believe everything you
hear, and everything you see. You don't necessarily trust everything you hear and see. Maybe it's not that way. What kind of a guarantee can you give me that you know exactly what you see? And Marcus says, I'll tell you, King, tomorrow by the parade, if you command the Jews to open up those cases, you will see for yourself they're empty. And if they're empty, the Jews deserve punishment for fooling the king. And the king says, and what if they have the inside? What if they have the Sefer Torah inside and what you're saying is not true? Marcus says, then I'll tell you what. Whatever punishment you were thinking for the Jews, you could do it to me. How about that, king? That is my guarantee. Whatever you were planning to do to the Jews, you could do to me. And the king said, that sounds fair. Tomorrow by the parade, I will command the Jews to open up those cases. If they're empty, that means they're fooling me. And that means they deserve punishment. But if those Sefer Torahs are inside, and it's not like you say, then whatever punishments I was planning for the Jews will be done to you. Now Marcus gave his funny smile because he knew that he was right, that the Sefer Torahs will be not there and the cases will be empty. And so he went to sleep in his pajamas that night, and he still had the funny smile on his face, and he's excited about the parade in the morning. And he fell asleep, and the king fell asleep, and most of the people in the city of Saragossa went to sleep. However, certain people that night could not fall asleep. Now tomorrow, Mirtz Hashem, now it has to be quiet because there's a lot of people in this story sleeping. Where we're holding in this story, a lot of people are sleeping, except for a few. Now we don't want to wake up all those people that are sleeping. We'll find out what's going on with the people that are not sleeping tomorrow, because that's more important than the people that are sleeping. So don't fall asleep, but don't be too noisy either.
We are now ready for story time. It should be this quiet the whole entire time if your head is down.
All right, keep it quiet because people are trying to sleep. It's the night before the parade. The king is sleeping in his pajamas with a big smile on his face because tomorrow he's going on a royal parade. So he is happy and he's sleeping. The officers and the soldiers and the trumpet blowers and all of the people that are going with the king in the royal entourage are sleeping because they're excited. Tomorrow is a parade and they're schluffing and dreaming about the beautiful parade. Marcus, the evil officer with the plans against the Jews, is sleeping with a big funny smile on his face, dreaming how much trouble he will make, chas v'shalem, for the Jews. And in his plans, he's even dreaming about plans against the Jews. Shh. And the people of Spain are sleeping because they are going to go in the morning to the parade. And even the Yidden and the Jewish neighborhoods were sleeping, excited about the parade. However, that night, several people had trouble sleeping. Let's go to a certain house in a Jewish neighborhood, and over there lives the shamish of the big shul. The shamish who takes care of the shul went to sleep. The shamish tried going to sleep. Usually he had no problem going to sleep. But he could not sleep. He was tossing and turning. And also, he was very worried. But you know, there's two kinds of worried. One kind, you know why you're worried. Something is wrong, so you're worried. There's a lion in your room. Huh, you're worried. You know why, because there's a lion there. But there's another kind of worried, that sometimes a person might feel worried and they don't know why. The shamash was worried and he didn't know, why should I be worried? Why do I feel something not good is going to happen? Why should I feel that way? Tomorrow is a royal parade. Royal parades are beautiful and wonderful and happy and everybody's excited. Why should I feel worried? And I don't even know why. Kinalach, he said Shema over again. He tried thinking Torah as he's laying there trying to go to sleep. Finally, he fell into his sleep and he had a very strange dream. Who would like to hear the very strange dream? Shh. Now, be quiet, because if he wakes up, he won't hear the dream, because he won't be dreaming anymore. In his dream, there came a very halakhic-looking tzaddik with a white beard and a shining face. And the tzaddik in the dream said, go to the shul, put the Sefer Torah back in the case, close the case, and don't tell anybody what you did. It is very important that the Sefer Torah goes back into the case before the parade. But do not tell anybody about what you did. Keep it a secret. And as soon as he had that dream, he woke up. And he remembered the dream, and he felt that he has to listen to that dream. He felt something is going on, and it wasn't just stam a dream, just kind of a dream that a person has that doesn't mean anything. He felt this is an important dream. And the shamash got dressed, and he ran out of his house in the middle of the night, and he starts running to the big shul. Now, usually at that hour, no one was on the street. But a very strange thing happened. As he's running to the big shul, he almost bumps into the shamash of the little shul. There's another shul. It's not the big shul. It's a little shul. A little shtiebel. And the shamash was also running through the street. They almost bumped into one another. And each one looks at each other. What are you doing here? What are you doing here? I can't really say. I have to go to the big shul. I also can't really say. I have to go to the little shul. Well, why can't you say? Well, why can't you say? I have to do something, but I can't tell you what. I also have to do something. I can't tell you what. Well, that's interesting. Why are you going to do something you can't tell me what? I had a dream, but I can't tell you about it. And the other shamash said, I also had a dream, but I can't tell you about it. Kinalach, the other shamash also had the same dream. And the two shamashim are talking there, and each one can't tell the other, because the man in the dream said, don't tell anybody. But they could figure out that both of them are going to the shul to put the Sefer Torah back in the case. And as they're standing there, talking and not really saying anything, but figuring out what's going on, another shamash from a different shul is running right by them. And he sees the other two shamashes from the shuls, and he sees in the middle of the night, they're in the middle of the street talking. And he stops. And he says, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? I can't tell you. Well, we can't tell you either. Well, how come you can't tell? Well, I had a certain dream, but I can't tell you what it was. Uh-huh. It sounds like the same dream we had, but we can't tell you about it. And then the shamuses went to their shuls, and it so happened that every shamish of every shul was running in the middle of the night to his shul to put the Sefer Torah back in the case, because they all had the same dream that they couldn't tell the other one. But since you heard it from the first shamish, you could figure out that the other ones had the same dream. And the man with the shining face said, put the Sefer Torah in the case before the parade. And that's what they did. And they put the Sefer Torah in the case, closed the case, and they went back home. And now the morning came.